Movement, the Great March of Return, has been held again for the sixth Friday in a row. Israeli forces have killed nearly 50 Palestinians during the protests in the besieged Gaza Strip amid international silence. Israel, meanwhile, has accounted or announced that it has a right to kill because it states that this is a state of war and that human rights laws don't apply. In this debate, we'll look at what this Great March of Return has achieved and how it has worked either for or against Israel and also for or against Palestinians. First, Press TV's Gaza correspondent Halal Safadi joins us from Gaza City to tell us about this. Well, at this point, we're looking at 6 weeks. About 10,000 protesters showed up, Halal Safadi. Tell us about that. And on a personal note, tell us what you feel when you see your fellow Palestinians protesting and putting their lives on the line.
Well, until today, for the 6 weeks in the row, hundreds of Palestinians continue to march, demanding the right of return to their occupied homelands in the occupied territories. Hundreds of people who participated in the rallies today were injured. According to the Ministry of Health, we're talking about hundreds who were injured, among which are 83 people who were shot by live ammunition, and over 800 were treated for gas inhalation. Among those injuries are 3 medical personnel and 5 journalists. And here on, as a journalist, this is where the fears start. As you asked, how do I feel about this? Definitely, a journalist does not feel safe, just like any other protester who goes to these places or to the buffer zone in order to demand their rights. It is very hard to witness the injuries and the injuries, especially of the innocent children who are there just standing and watching and believing that that they are actually doing something for their homelands that they have never actually seen or stepped foot on. So basically, as the situation continues to escalate on the borders and Israel continues to use excessive force and power against these protesters, situation gets very hard on a personal level. Because as a Palestinian journalist, I know that there is nothing that guarantee the safety of Palestinian journalists, as Israel does not discriminate between a journalist or a citizen or an armed person during those rallies, as we have been seeing for the past 6 weeks, where journalists were also killed and injured, and a number of innocent people were also injured. Hundreds and thousands of people are in the hospitals in Gaza being treated for their injuries that were caused to them by the Israeli troops and snipers.
Thank you very much for that. From Gaza City, of course, one of their Halal Safadi. Joining us for this debate, journalist and Middle East analyst Hafsa Kar Mustafa joins us from London. And we have reporter and political commentator Maxine Dover, who joins us from New York. I'd like to welcome you both. And Maxine Dover.
Definitely. Bye.
Maxine Dover, let me start with you. You have protesters there in Gaza at this point who are throwing stones, but they're being met by live fire. You have up to 50 people who have been killed, thousands at this point who have been injured. Do you believe that the rule of law is being followed?
The rule of law indicates that there is a buffer zone between the area where the citizens of Gaza are supposed to be and where the border line fence is. In that buffer zone, there should be no one. And if there is no one and no stones in that buffer zone, then of course the rule of law will be followed, and there will be no interchange either of stones or of children being pushed into the line, and no interchange of any kind of defensive fire from the Israeli soldiers. That buffer zone should be enforced. That's what it's there for. That's what the UN established, and that's what the security forces of the PA and of Israel established, so that nobody would be in the buffer zone, so that no one would be throwing anything,
okay,
either rockets or stones, across that buffer zone. And there would be no injuries following that.
So Israel has a right to kill then?
I did not say that.
Well,
I
then explain yourself, because 50 of them have been killed.
And we don't, and no one knows, excuse me, no one in London and no one in New York and no one in Tehran knows what is being carried by the Hamas operative who might be in front of the line or behind the line of the first row of people. No one knows what they're carrying. Well, they could be carrying anything from a stone to a rocket to any kind of other offensive material.
I think you mentioned London there.
I don't even want to name it, given the political climate that we have.
I think you mentioned London there, so let's find out if our guest from London, maybe she knows and can add to this. Thank you for that, Maxine.
Maybe
let's
knows.
Go to Afsakar Mustafa.
If she isn't Afsakar there, I don't Mustafa. Know how she knows, but maybe she knows.
Go ahead.
Well, Maxine Dover, I wouldn't know how you can recognize a Palestinian, an average civilian Palestinian, a 12-year-old Palestinian from a Hamas operative. The images that we've seen have shown that essentially these were teenagers, children who have suffered under occupation and who've simply expressed their anger at the inhumane conditions in which they're living under Israeli rule. Now, I don't understand this idea of buffer zone that seems to imply that Palestinians should remain behind a fence as if they were some form of cattle or animals. I think that the vocabulary here used is incredibly offensive, and it seems to imply that the people of Palestinians do not have the same rights as any other human beings.
They're somewhat forced to remain somewhat remote.
Maxine, I didn't interrupt you, so please don't interrupt. The idea that they could not express their views and their anger against the occupation that they suffer on their very own land is in itself deeply offensive. I do recall Mr. Netanyahu claiming that somehow if a Palestinian state would not be Jewish, therefore it would be Juden-free, and it seemed deeply offensive. I fear the idea that Palestinians could not walk freely wherever they choose on their own land is very, very much offensive, and of course deeply racist, as in fact is the Israeli state. Now, the idea, of course, that to dismiss any single teenager as being somewhat a Hamas operative is of course a Israeli technique that again is aimed at justifying the mass slaughter of Palestinians. And of course, thanks to the support that Israel has in Washington and of course in the New York media and New York observers, we are seeing that the mass killing of teenagers is actually being justified.
Maxine Dover.
All right, point by point. Number one, Israel has no administrative anything in Gaza. That is all under either Hamas or the PA or whatever arrangement might be between those. Israel withdrew from Gaza in entirety long, long ago. So as far as occupied Israel being in occupied territory, in Gaza that doesn't exist. That territory is completely under the governing of the Palestinian people through either Hamas or through the PA. That's number one. Number two, what are you defining as occupied lands? If your definition is the state of Israel as, quote, occupied lands, which is a Hamas definition, a written Hamas definition, then of course there is no ability for non-citizens to have free reign. The idea of a return is one that is not legal concept if that return entails destruction of the state of Israel. That's not going to happen. The state of Israel has every right to defend itself.
Can we just stick to the topic
at hand, Maxine
Dover?
Every one of those soldiers would prefer not. Now you're interrupting me. Now you're interrupting me. Every one of those soldiers would prefer not to be on the front lines and facing people a year or two younger or much older or not so much older. They're facing people who could be their colleagues and should be their colleagues and should be enjoying the benefits that peace would bring, the benefits of cyber technology, the benefits of advancement and not of war and not of anger that has no place to go. You channel
okay.
your anger, you make your the state where you live the one that's the positive one. What do you think the idea of establishing Gaza as an independent place was all about? It was to give its citizenry a chance to build a normal, good life. The same as in the other side of the desert. It's all the same desert. But what's happened on the Israeli side is blooming, and what's happened on the Gaza side is terror.
Okay, go ahead. Afsakar Mustafa.
Well, I was expecting a point-by-point rebuttal. All I got was a pro-Israel rant that went from whatever is blooming in Israel to whatever the rights or the charter of Hamas. First and foremost, it's internationally recognized as occupied territory. It isn't about what Hamas thinks. It isn't about what Israel thinks. It is about what the entire international community regards Gaza and the West Bank. And indeed, for the Palestinians, all of Israel is the occupation, is the illegal occupation of their homeland. And that is a perfectly legitimate position to stance. Now, first of all, now the idea that Israel is blooming, let's recall on that point first. Israel is a country that is supported by every superpower in the world. It gets more than $4 billion from the US administration every year. It gets advantageous trade deals from the EU. So, of course, thanks to that, it manages to bloom when, in fact, the Palestinians are constantly being attacked. Placed in fenced-in areas, such as cattle, deprived of basic human rights. So I think the contrast there is very glaring. Now, I don't need to go back into all these things because I think the fact that Israel is in violation of over 67 international UN resolutions is an of which party is the terrorist party in this story. It is obviously the powerful nation that gasses Palestinians, that attacks UN schools, that tortures young kids, young Palestinian children in custody, that illegally detains Palestinians for months on end without trial, and of course which shoots Palestinians on site and then celebrates the shooting. But the point, of course, of the topic this evening is about what is happening at the moment, and I think what we're seeing are Palestinians expressing legally their anger at the occupation that they're suffering. And sadly, Israel is retaliating with heavy armory and killing them one by one.
Before you give an answer or reply there, Maxine Dover, let me at least say what Israel has said in terms of the use of live fire. Israel has said the Palestinian protests on Gaza's border fall into the state of war category. Thus, human rights laws do not apply to the Israeli army's rules of engagement in this regard. Maxine Dover.
How easily could this debate be stopped? Not between us, but with the debate between whether or not that border is a legitimate border or not. It could be stopped extremely easily. And it takes people ready to sit down and legitimately negotiate, not negotiate for a year or two and then walk away from an offered deal, but people ready to negotiate, ready to stop using the concrete for tunnels and use it for residences and use it for schools, people ready to stop putting bombs and other war material in schools, people ready to stop teaching children fantasies and teaching children to kill and hate and rather teach children to do the math that would allow them to cybersecurity. The fact that Israel gets aid from countries and the United States and the European Union doesn't make it unique. That similar aid would be available to any legitimate state and to any non-terrorist situation that would be allowed to exist in Gaza. The fact that Israel is blooming is not a matter of that foreign aid. The fact that Israel is blooming is a matter of startups, is a matter of creating things like Lyft or Uber or cyber technology that is being used all the world round. Do you use a computer, by the way, in London? If you
let her
do,
answer that.
Take a look
Hafsakar
at it.
Mustafa.
It's probably on an
let her
Intel
answer
chip.
That. Let her answer that. Go ahead, Hafsakar Mustafa.
I'm absolutely surprised at the idea that we've managed to distract from the fact that Palestinians are being killed on a daily basis to who the hell uses Uber. It's really irrelevant. Do you use medicine? Do you shower every day? In which case, that's thanks to the Arabs when the Christians came for the Crusades.
No, it's not irrelevant.
This is a ridiculous question, and this is a ridiculous debate. We are now talking about the violation of international law committed by Israel. Who cares who does the startups? We're talking about a country that benefits from advantages in aid, in support, in trade deals, in tax deductions. All these elements are what makes a startup possible. If I'm given a loan and told that I don't have to pay it back, I'm given free aid, I'm given a free place to start up my business, of course I'm going to start a successful business because everything has been handed over to me on a plate. But that's really hardly the issue. The issue here is that we are seeing teenagers being gunned down on a daily basis, and people like yourself are actually justifying it and telling me that Israel is blooming. Of course Israel is blooming, and it's blooming on the blood of Palestinian children.
Maxine Dover, this has worked against Israel, the number of deaths, the violations that have taken place.
That, by the way, is a blood libel. That's an unacceptable anti-Semitic blood libel.
Oh, for crying out loud, please. Spare me the anti-Semitism
thing. Absolutely not the case.
Why are those children not?
Why are those children not in school?
You may call that one on others who have a chip on their shoulders.
Why are those children
but
not?
But not on me. Not on me. The anti-Semitic thing does not work on me. Do not play the anti-Semitic card on me. I am criticizing the terrorist state of Israel, and let's stick to Israel. Spare me the anti-Semitic violence, okay? This is not the moment when Palestinian children, when Palestinian mothers are crying for their babies. Shame on you.
Maxine Dover.
The fact is that Palestinian mothers should not be crying for their babies. Their babies should not be on a border throwing stones and putting themselves in the way of any fire, live or rubber bullets or whatever fire. What are those kids doing there? What are those kids doing there?
They're protesting against occupation. They're protesting against occupation.
If you're going to have a war, put soldiers on the front. What, the 15-year-olds, the 12-year-olds, they're not protecting against anything except bad publicity that they wish to create for the state of Israel.
They're protesting against occupation.
That is not a place for children. Call Hamas's bluff.
No, of course not. Being under occupation, being in an open-air prison is not a place for children. I agree.
And have, excuse me.
Go ahead, Maxine Dover.
And call, get the use of resources made available to people for normal lives, not for high-tech tunnels.
You've said that before. Let me ask you a question, Maxine Dover. I'm sorry.
Let it be for a high-tech shopping mall. I am saying it and I am repeating it because it is something that needs to be recognized and stopped.
Okay, let me ask.
And if you're thinking that.
But Maxine Dover, let me ask you this.
Foreign aid is what's responsible for. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You said, what are the 15-year-olds doing there? They shouldn't be there. And then you said, put soldiers there. I didn't follow that. What purpose would that serve? You're asking for them to be removed and for the soldiers to be there. To be executed by the Israeli soldiers?
Soldiers would have the discipline of I am saying soldiers on both sides facing one another should have military discipline of stopping this kind of interaction. This kind of interaction is made for one purpose, and that purpose is only to engender negative publicity. Soldiers, I say,
the negative publicity is coming from Israeli actions.
They would have a command.
Let's not forget that at the beginning
the
of these uprisings, we had a Palestinian
Let Hafsa Karmastafa talk.
At the beginning of these uprisings,
Maxine Dover, please, 1 second.
Recognizes
Maxine
occupation.
Dover, please. Hafsa Karmastafa, go ahead. We'll get right to you.
Okay.
At the beginning of these uprisings, we had a 30-year-old journalist, Palestinian journalist, who was merely covering the uprisings and who was gunned down in cold blood.
He was not a soldier.
He was merely a. Oh, so you were there. So now you were there.
You're
in a position to tell who was there and who was what.
But
so somehow, when it comes to Palestinian victims, he was recognized as a Palestinian journalist and he was killed and he died as a journalist doing his job. It was reported wildly in the mainstream media, in American media, namely. And he died because he was gunned down by Israeli soldiers. So this is an army that literally kills indiscriminately and guns down Palestinians as if it were a national sport. We've seen the images of Israelis literally take pot shots and congratulate themselves for killing Palestinians as if they had killed in a game. This is a terrorist state that employs terrorist soldiers in the most immoral army in the world. And the result of that is that when you have Palestinian children who are merely expressing their anger at living in an open-air prison because Israel illegally occupies their country, they're being slaughtered as a result of that. These are the facts on the ground. These are the facts that are being reported by all mainstream media. And these are facts that even Israel is recognizing, since it has itself stated that it is not applying the rule of law when it comes to slaughtering Palestinians.
Go ahead, Maxine Dover.
All right, point number one, Israel doesn't employ soldiers. Every young person in Israel is drafted. Only those who have medical reasons or other non-able reasons are not in the army. This is an army of citizens. That's number one. And of all
also, it's okay for the Israelis to employ citizens. So it's okay for Israel to employ citizens to do this kind of stuff.
Let me answer your point. Stop shouting and let me answer your point. Number one,
I'm not shouting.
This is not an army employed. This is an army defending its country. You suggested that Gaza is recognized as occupied territory by international legal bodies, and then you suggest that Israel is not legal. You can't have both. You have to say international law, which recognizes the state of Israel and has recognized the modern state of Israel since 1948, is one thing, and therefore then you can say you are talking about occupied territories. Israel doesn't want to occupy the territories. Israel would rather not be in that position, I am quite sure. So you cannot have one set of recognitions and not the other. When you recognize that Israel is a legitimate state, then the further discussion of creating a legitimate state for the Palestinian people can continue. You can't say one doesn't exist and demand the other. That doesn't work. That isn't playing with apples and apples. If you want to play with apples and bananas, then you're in a different game. Then you're in a game of fraud and lies.
Okay, I got to come in because we're unfortunately running out of time.
Is a necessary thing for a legitimate
Dover.
State.
I'm sorry, I got to come in because we're running out of time. Before I give you the last word, Hafsa Karim Mostafa, let me tell you the update of what happened today. Live rounds and tear gas were shot at Palestinians by Israeli troops. At this point, you have 1,100 injuries. Medics said around 82 people were shot and wounded with live fire. Another 800 treated for gas inhalation and the rest for other injuries. This is coming from Reuters. So that's the official count at this point. Hafsa Karim Mostafa, final word to you.
Well, just very briefly to say that according to Maxine Dover, it is wrong for Palestinian citizens to express their anger, but yet we somehow have to pat on the head the Israelis for having their citizens come and gun down the Palestinians. Of course, there's no contradiction in talking utter nonsense, but just a point on the international law and recognition, I think it's fair to say that the international community expects Israel to abide by international law, but how the Palestinians who have been deprived of their own homeland see the Israelis and how they do not apply international law. They are perfectly entitled, therefore, to question its legitimacy, given that Israel violates it. If Israel violates international law, if Israel has not respected 67 UN international resolutions, then therefore the Palestinians do not have to abide by somehow this international law that Israel itself refuses to respect. And I think on that, you cannot expect the Palestinians to abide by international law when Israel continuously flaunts it. I think this is the crux of the problem. Israel is the terrorist in this relationship, and the Palestinians are the victims.
Thank you. We're going to end it there. Our correspondent, Halal Safadi, joined us in the beginning of the program from Gaza City. Journalist and Middle East analyst Hafsa Karim Mostafa there, and reporter and political commentator Maxine Dover. Thank you for your comments from New York. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For Mikavitha, the entire team in the capital of Tehran, goodbye.